So follow along. There are some spots in our time together tonight where Ellen's just going to start playing and Charles is going to stand up and y'all are going to start singing. I've got that built into the message tonight. And so you need to be prepared to participate as we move on. I was thinking about doing this message on heaven, and the question comes, and I'll probably do one or two more, but the question came to my mind, who's going to be there? Anybody home? And I thought, well, the answer to the question, who's going to be there, takes longer than what I've got tonight to give you. So we're going to condense and just focus on a couple. And the first thing that I need to say to you, and we would think this goes without saying, but I need to be reminded of a lot of things that go without saying, you know? I sometimes just need to be shaken a little bit, woke back up to the reality of what God's Word says in different places about different things, and just go with it. So in the very beginning, we're going to talk about for a few minutes, God's going to be there. God is going to be there. You say, well, he's everywhere. Well, yes, he is. But as we talk about God being in heaven, we're going to talk about some things that you may not have thought about heretofore. And just to kind of kick us off and get us in the frame of mind where God is going to be there, we're going back to Isaiah 6, and we'll only look at verse 1. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple.
I saw the Lord, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The angels cried, holy, the angels cried, holy, the angels cried, holy is the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The angels cried, holy. The angels cried, holy. The angels cried, holy is the Lord.
I wonder just how Isaiah would have sung that song as he got that vision. As God began to reveal himself to him. And over in the Revelation chapter 21 verse 22, John says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Now I want you to get this. There's no structure there that has been built for the express purpose of worship. This place, when it was being built, was being built for the purpose of God's people coming together and assembling under this roof in one heart, one mind, one spirit to worship the living God. But Isaiah said, or John said, When I saw into the heavens as God was revealing to me, I saw no temple, no building, no structure that had been made for the express purpose of worship. He said that God Himself and the Lamb of God were the temple. And that their presence, their being, fills the entirety of heaven. We talked about that a little bit last Sunday night. In their presence, we will worship God alone. Now, I want you to see this. I wish my mind could tell me and show me what a spirit being looks like, you know? Man's imagination has kind of told us that a spirit being looks like a fog. You know, just a big mist. And I don't know that that's accurate. But what I want you to see here is that as Almighty God and as the Lamb are the temple, then as we come into His presence, as we enter into heaven, we become immersed in Him. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later on. But just something, we become engulfed by His Spirit. And in that presence, we will begin and then continue to worship Him and praise Him for all of eternity.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord.
During the years we were away from you, two separate times we lived in Seattle, a couple of years each time. I don't know if you've ever been to Seattle or not. It's a beautiful place. Western Washington is an absolutely gorgeous part of our country if the clouds roll away long enough for you to be able to see it. I'm not kidding. You almost always ride with your windshield wipers on intermittent. But I remember I had been there for a few months, and we actually had 4 days of cloudless skies, clear blue skies, sunshine. And on the second day, I had the radio on in the car, and I heard this announcer saying, people are wondering what that strange orange ball is in the sky. And they went on and they went on, and they made such a big deal about the fact that the sun was shining. Because in truth, it doesn't happen very often there. You know, they probably have rain some 300 plus days of the year. And we have a lot of rain in Florida, but it rains a little while and the sun comes out. No, he just stays that way there. Yucky, gray, misty. The Bible says that God created the greater light, the sun, and the lesser light, the moon, for us to be able to work and function, and as a sign of the seasons and the times, and there's all kinds of things that it tells us about that. But in Isaiah 60:19, it says that the sun shall be no more your light by day, for the brightness of the moon to give you light, but the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. As we are in God's presence in heaven, that there will be no sun or moon or stars. Won't be any. Won't be needed. Won't be any electric lights. Won't be any candles. And the reason why is because God Himself, in His radiant glory, will provide all the light. Wow. Wow. You know, you hear about somebody, usually a young lady, people will say she walks in the room and lights up the whole place. Well, that's figuratively speaking and attitudinally speaking. But God will Himself light the whole place. Not only will God be there, but Jesus will be there. We talked about this a little bit last week also. John 14:2-3 says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, or would I have told you, that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." As Jesus Christ hung dying on the cross at Calvary, you may remember that the repentant thief, the thief on one side of him, looked at him and asked him to remember me when you come into your glory. And in Luke 23:43, Jesus replied and he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let me paraphrase that for you tonight. Jesus said to that dying thief, "Our bodies are going to die today, but we're going to live on in God's kingdom. When our body dies, that's not the end of us." Jesus, hanging on the cross, is speaking words of proof of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, as he said, "Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord." To be absent from this body for the child of God, for the born-again believer, for the Jesus person, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord God. Now, there are some realities about this. One of those realities is that we get selfish. And we don't want people around us, people that we love, we don't want them to die. Right? Right? So we don't want them to have the joy of entering into the eternal presence of Jesus Christ. At least not while we're alive, because we'll miss them too much. That's true. However, I know an awful lot of Christ followers that if they were not so uncertain as to the dying process, would choose to go with Jesus anytime. If we could be like Enoch in Genesis 5:24, as it says, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him, we would likely say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Take me home. But that's not what we know. Hebrews 4:14 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Listen. We need to be certain. We need to hold on to the truth. The Bible teaches us absolutely without a doubt, without any question, that Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who was dead, who was buried, who was resurrected, and ascended into heaven, is alive, and he will be there when we get there. Without a doubt. I also told you last week, not only will he be there when we get there, he's coming to get us to take us there. How's all that work? I don't know. I don't care. I don't have to know. I just get to enjoy it. Because that's what he promises that he's going to do. When I draw this last breath and the man am escorted by the Son of God into the eternal presence of God, they're both going to be standing right there.
Early gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Wow. What a promise. What an exciting time to come. Think about it. To be literally where God the Father and God the Son are. Now, not just in the invisible sense as we now are. We are literally in the presence of God the Father, and we are literally in the presence of Jesus Christ the Son. But we are there in the invisible sense. We can't see them. But there's coming that day when we're going to be literally in their presence. We're going to be able to look into the eyes of Jesus. Wow. Randy, what do you think about that? We're going to be able to look into the eyes of Jesus Christ. And I'm reminded of the time when Moses and God were alone together and God was to come by and Moses said, let me see him. And God says, I'll let you see my backside because you can't stand the full glory. Not only will we be able to look into the eyes of Jesus Christ, but we will see and we will be in the midst of the full glory of the living God. Wow. There are times in this life when it seems that the glory of God just kind of washes over us and seems to overwhelm us and maybe even take our breath away, or maybe cause our eyes to tear up, or the old-fashioned glory bumps to jump up on our skin. Times when we are so aware of the presence of God among us and it just kind of washes over us, and as it overwhelms us, it's here and it's gone. But in heaven, the glory of God's not going to wash over us. In heaven, we will be immersed in the glory of God, even as we are in baptismal waters. Except, it won't be a quick dunking and back out. But in heaven, with God and the Lamb being the temple, and us being escorted into heaven itself, into that temple, then we will eternally be immersed, wrapped in, bathed in, covered over with the glory of God. The full glory of God not only shines around us in heaven as a light of that great city, but God's glory shines on us, bathing us in His glory at the same time that His glory shines through us throughout all of eternity, shining forth with His grace as we are seen as those who have been made pure as refiner's gold. We'll be seen as ones whose sins, though they were as scarlet, will have been made white like fresh fallen snow. But for now, He is here. We can't see Him like we will then, but He is here. We can't reach out and touch Him like we will then, but He is here. You see, we can definitely see the effects He's having on each other's lives. We can see that. Just like we would see the effect that the wind had as it blew through. And we can see the manifestation of His love and His grace displayed in changed lives all around us. And we can see His power made manifest in the way that He is working through this people, ministering in this community to the needs of the people that live here. We can see that. And we can feel His presence as we learn of Him, as we lean into Him, and as we trust Him with all of our need today and tomorrow and forever. You see, He's going to be in heaven, but He's here. And He's calling out your name, because He has something special He wants to say to you. He has a special blessing designed for you, just for you tonight. He'll have a new one for you tomorrow. He has a special blessing for you, and it has your name on it right now. None of the rest of us can have it. None of the rest of us would benefit from it. It's the blessing that God designed for you to have during this time, in this place, as you come together to honor Him. And to enjoy that blessing, all we need to do is to receive it. All we need to do is to understand that He's here and that He's calling out your name and that He has something special for you tonight.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Hope you will never be the same.
Father, thank you for this time to be together with you tonight. Thank you for these that have come. Thank you for stirring our hearts with our presence, for loving and encouraging and strengthening. God, as we leave this place tonight, would you just find a way to love somebody else through me? Would you find a way to let your glory shine a little brighter on someone else's life because of our relationship, because of my relationship with you? Would you find a way to glorify yourself through each one of us as we praise you, honor you, and thank you in Jesus' holy name? And the church said, amen. Amen. Amen.